You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. The text line's not working. We haven't got a text in 2 hours, and I know this show isn't very popular, but, I mean, we always get at least one text. I mean, somebody texts in and just calls me an idiot, at least at a minimum. Text line just not working, man. All for the holidays. 913-586-7610. I believe the phones work. 913-586-7610. Could be wrong. I don't know. Could be wrong. So we were talking about this earlier today. If you could press a button right now and guarantee the health, 100% health, for Kadarius Toney and Harrison Butker down the stretch, who would you pick? Now, Rob, I would pick Harrison Butker for this reason. You and I have watched a lot of playoff football. And you know what you can live without? You can live without your number three wide receiver being healthy. I like Kadarius Toney. Think he has shown an athleticism that they don't really have at the position. He has shown a burst and an explosiveness. I'm really excited about Kadarius Toney getting healthy and next season really seeing what he can do with more time in this offense. But you can get to the Super Bowl without Kadarius Toney. You can get to the Super Bowl without Kadarius Toney making another play for you the rest of the season. I don't know if you can go to the Super Bowl without Harrison Butker, man. You and I, especially in this city, know when it comes down to playoff football, the importance of special teams and trusting your kicker to make something. And you and I both know that this will be there will be a situation in the playoffs, one of their possible two playoff games. We know this will happen. It'll be late, 9 minutes to go in the game. It will be a one-score game, and they will ask Harrison Butker to make a kick. And what is your confidence level? What is your expectation on Harrison Butker coming through in that situation? You guys know I have been terrified of their special teams being a reason that they don't advance in the playoffs for 2 months now. I don't want to end up being right on this. So if I had the ability right now to press a button, if I had the ability to lock in and you could give me the old Harrison Butker back, I would press the button. You can make it without Kadarius Toney. I don't know if you can do so without Harrison Butker. That's why I'd press the button.
Here's why I'm picking Toney. And if the text line was up, they would know. I was not high on that trade. I'm still not high on that trade, but I want to see how it all shakes out. That's neither here nor there. But I think the Chiefs win on Sunday if their offense is more explosive. I think the Chiefs have a little more offensive juice, a little more pop, and they're not worried about the Bengals and the long field goal at the end of the game. I think if they have a little more offense, a little more explosion, like we talked about on the show Monday and Tuesday, I don't think you're reliant on Harrison Butker to tie the game. And while Harrison Butker's health is a concern for me, I think when I look at this Chiefs team, the glaring issue to me is they lack an explosive offense weapon. When healthy, Kadarius Toney has shown he can be that guy. And when I look back at last year's playoffs, they ran over the Steelers in part because Tyreek Hill was an explosive weapon. Not that Kadarius Toney is Tyreek Hill, but they need that weapon to run over the Steelers. They beat the Bills, and I know Butker made the game-tying field goal at the end of regulation, but on that 13-second drive, it was more than just Butker. Tyreek Hill on the first play of the drive made a big explosive play, which cut the margins down. Who on the team this year makes that play? Mecole Hardman? I don't think so. In the Bengals game, I know everyone harsh is on the end of half play and et cetera, et cetera. But in that first half, Tyreek Hill was making plays. Who makes those plays on this team to get that big lead against the Bengals? I think the lack of offensive explosion is more glaring to me than iffy field goal play. So if I were to pick one, I'm picking healthy KT, Kadarius Toney, over healthy Harrison Butker.
I look at Kadarius Toney as a luxury. And not saying that he can't help this team. Not saying that he isn't a plus for this team, because I believe that he is. But I don't think you need him and Mecole Hardman to both be healthy for the postseason. I don't think you need him and Mecole Hardman to both be good in the postseason. I think you need one of them. Let's say that you don't get Mecole Hardman back for the rest of the year. Certainly would be damning. If you get Kadarius Toney back, I think you can figure it out, because I think the two are very similar in their skill set and what they can do and how Andy can use them in the offense. I don't look at Harrison Butker that way. I just don't look at him as a luxury. I just don't see him that way. An update on Kadarius Toney from Andy Reid earlier today. It sounds like he's back to practice.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm going to let him get out there and work a little bit. And, you know, we'll just see how he does. We're not, I'm not going to bring him back and have him hurt it again. That's not what we're looking at. So just see what he can do.
I would say as important as the one seed, because I don't know how valuable the one seed is this season. If Cincinnati is coming into Kansas City, I don't think you feel great about it just because they got to play you at home. They've already shown you they can beat you at the crib. Same thing with Buffalo. Now, it's certainly better to play at home than on the road, but I don't know if home field advantage is the deciding factor that it could be. Health certainly could be the reason. So the fact that right now this team, that everybody is on their 53-man roster, is going to practice is the real story for the week. At this point, there's only two things that matter: taking care of your business on the field and staying healthy. Denver shouldn't be able to compete with you. The Raiders, albeit improved, you are a better team than the Raiders. You've shown your dominance in this division. I don't even want to talk about Houston. They are embarrassing. They are the worst team in the National Football League. And Seattle is good. But coming into Kansas City, Christmas Eve, road Arrowhead, that should not be a game in which Seattle comes on the road and beats you as a team that has Super Bowl aspirations, a team that's trying to lock in that one seed. The Chiefs should take care of business down the stretch. Now, equally as important is making sure you get your guys back healthy. I don't think you need Kadarius Toney this week. You don't need a boost. You don't need explosiveness. So maybe Kadarius practices for a couple of weeks. You're bringing him back slowly, and he comes back for the Christmas Eve game against Seattle. Or maybe you bring him back next week against Houston. You're bringing him in back slowly, and there's no reason to push Kadarius Toney this week against arguably the best defense in the National Football League. Let him practice. Let him get back to using that hamstring. You sell it like it's a game-time decision, but he's inactive. I would let Kadarius Toney get 2 weeks of practice. I'd let him practice this week in full with the team. I'd let him practice next week. I'd use him sparingly next week against Houston. And then I would then have a soft schedule to bring him back for the game against Seattle. That's how I would handle his hamstring injury.
I agree. That's how I would handle every single injured player in the Chiefs right now. We're going to talk about it a lot over the next month, so there's no point really hammering this point home now. The Chiefs basically get the Chattanoogas and the Abilene Christians and however the SEC does it at the end of their schedule the rest of December. That's their schedule up until they play the Raiders in January. So you know what? There's no need to push back a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's no need to push a guy like Mecole Hardman. There's no need to push a guy like Kadarius Toney. If you're a guy who's coming off the IR or battling a nagging injury, the Chiefs can be a little more cautious with you than most teams can be, because I think, for lack of a better term, they can roll the ball out there and beat the Broncos. They can roll the ball out there and beat the Texans. They don't really need to roll the ball out there to beat the Texans. The Texans are quit on the season. But you can just roll the ball out there and beat these teams. So I'm 100% lockstep with you. Let's be cautious. Let's be very easygoing. And let's get these guys healthy for the playoffs. And you have the ability with a soft schedule to do that down the stretch.
Coming up in just a little bit, we will head to Buffalo, New York, to be joined by Sal Capaccio, who covers the Buffalo Bills for WGR. The top story today in the National Football League is Von Miller. So he went in to get his knee looked at a little bit further, and it found out that the damage was more significant than they had thought. Von Miller out for the rest of the season. That is a substantial blow to the Buffalo Bills. We'll find out how big of a blow it is coming up on the other side. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. Catch former All-Pro tackle Mitchell Schwartz Tuesday starting at 3 o'clock on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
Coming up in about 45 minutes, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. But let's head to the phone lines right now and head to Buffalo, New York to be joined by our next guest. His name is Sal Capaccio. He covers the Buffalo Bills for WGR in Buffalo. Sal, appreciate you hopping on. What's the mood in Buffalo? How is the mood in Buffalo following this breaking story with Von Miller that he's done for the rest of the year?
I think really it's initially shock. I mean, this was something we were not expecting. After the injury happened on Thanksgiving, there was a lot of fear of it. And that was, you know, super, you know, sad and people bummed. And then a lot of optimism about, you know, maybe him being able to come back and Brandon Bean even saying that they were hopeful for that. And they're putting him on IR to, you know, hopefully give him some time. And then I think today's news was just shocking. There was no media reports about it, no national, no local, nobody reporting anything. I think, though, throughout the day, as, you know, the news hits, it's, okay, well, you know, you've lived through a game with him and, you know, you were okay last week and you already knew he was going to be out. So, you know, kind of let's roll here with what you got. That's really, you know, bummed. Obviously, people are bummed, but, you know, maybe what does it look like, you know, beyond this year, I think is even some of the questions.
My impression is that Josh Allen is the most important player on the team and Von Miller is second. Is that a fair assumption?
I don't know if it is. I think Josh is clearly number one. I would not say Von Miller is most important, second most important. I think this offense would be dead in the water without Stephon Diggs. I mean, he isn't a clear elite number two wide receiver, and beyond him, they don't have a ton. They have some nice complimentary pieces, nice pieces like Gabe Davis, who's inconsistent. And on the defensive end, honestly, I'd say maybe Matt Milano and Jordan Poyer are more important than Von Miller. Von Miller's great. There's no doubt. He's walking into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, you take Jordan Poyer with him on the field this year, the Bills are undefeated. And without him, they've had some struggles. With Matt Milano on the field, this defense plays much different. And Von's the closer. You know, he's the guy that gets the pass rusher. But, no, he doesn't play 100% of the snaps. Those other guys do.
Right now, we're talking to Sal Capaccio of WGR in Buffalo with the breaking news today that Von Miller is done for the rest of the season. What does Buffalo's pass rush look like without Von Miller? I think back to the game against Kansas City, and I thought the big difference was Von Miller. He makes that play late that forces Mahomes to turn the football over, and Buffalo could put the game on ice. What does the pass rush look like now minus Von Miller?
Yeah, for sure. This is why you signed Von Miller, to be that missing piece in a game like Kansas City, hopefully in the playoffs. Right now they're not going to have him. And, you know, it's that third and six in the fourth quarter that Von comes up big. That's what he's known for. But now other guys have to step up. And, look, they have some nice young pieces like Greg Rousseau. Boogie Basham played really well last week. Von was out. He played, I think, Greg Rousseau. He had an interception against Kansas City in the regular season last year, getting his arms up and batting it down. He's somebody that can step up. Ed Oliver is very good pass rusher from the interior. But none of them are Von Miller. We know that. The Bills don't love to blitz. They have been blitzing a little bit more lately. They can generate some pressure that way. So what it looks like is some young guys who they like but aren't quite to the level yet and that can make some big plays at times, but not, I think, on a consistent basis to put pressure, and certainly not the players that you think are just going to make that play at some point in the fourth quarter.
Are you worried about Buffalo winning their division?
No. I mean, they may not win out. They have to do that, I think, maybe to get the number one seed and certainly the division, but they have the Jets coming up. They have the Dolphins coming up. They're already a game ahead of the Dolphins, two games ahead of the Jets. the Bills are back in a good spot. You know, they're still the best team in the AFC. You know, they're the number one seed. They've beaten all three division leaders. I don't think so. In fact, I think Miami, they have to go to L.A. this week, and then they have to come to Buffalo. I think that's their biggest threat. And right now, I think the Dolphins, you know, they're probably a team that you would think isn't going to necessarily be able to handle both those teams, especially maybe Buffalo in a cold weather game on Saturday night in a week.
Last question here, Sal, and I appreciate your time. I look at Buffalo in a very similar place to Kansas City was before they finally got their ring. You're all in trying to win a Super Bowl. Does this change maybe your ceiling or expectations for the team, or is it still Super Bowl or bust in Buffalo?
Well, I think it's still Super Bowl or bust, but look, I always say to people, look at the betting lines. The Bills are the Super Bowl favorites before today, and they're going to be tomorrow, even with Von Miller's injury. I mean, they're regarded as the Super Bowl favorites. They're the team you have to beat in the AFC. They were 13 seconds away from beating the Chiefs last year without Von Miller. We all know what happened, and maybe that's the difference. But no, the expectation is still that this team can contend for and still win a Super Bowl. It's a big blow. There's no doubt about it. But they still have a terrific team. They've beaten Kansas City. They've beaten Baltimore. They've beaten Tennessee, the three division leaders. And I think, you know, it's still on track to have everything in front of them that they wanted to have all season.
That is Sal Capaccio joining us on the show today with WGR in Buffalo to talk about the top story in the NFL, Von Miller, future first ballot Hall of Famer, done for the rest of the season with a torn ACL. Sal, great stuff today, man. Appreciate you hopping on.
All right, you too, man. Thank you.
That's Sal Capaccio joining us on the show. Rob, I want to get your thoughts on this because I don't want to now sound like Chicken Little when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. The sky is falling, right? Guys are going to get hurt. It is not an if in the National Football League. It is simply a when and how your team manages those things. But when I think to the matchup that these two teams had a couple of months ago and the impact that I think Von Miller had, how disruptive I think he was in the game and that he made one of the biggest plays in the game, this is a significant blow for Buffalo. Their big new feature, their big this is why we're different, is now out for the rest of the season. You brought in Von Miller as a mercenary for one reason. Von Miller was brought in as a mercenary to help you beat the Kansas City Chiefs. He helped you do that in the regular season, but you pay him all that money for him to be available in the postseason. I don't fault Buffalo for what they did. They knew it was a dicey proposition. He was a guy who had already torn his ACL. My understanding is that this is the exact same ACL from what I read earlier today. So you knew that there was a chance that an older, aging player could get hurt at some point this season. But when you haven't won a Super Bowl, when you're trying to desperately get back for your first time since the 90s, you maybe overpay for something because you think that's the difference. You're now going to go into the postseason without that guy being the difference. Sure, you got Josh Allen, you got Stephon Diggs, you got a lot of talent. Not to say that Buffalo can't beat Kansas City, not to say Buffalo can't go to the Super Bowl, but your biggest wrinkle, your X factor, so to speak, what made you different is now out for the rest of the season. You got to feel different about Buffalo today than you felt about them 3 weeks ago. You have to. The fact they don't have Von Miller. Von Miller had 8 sacks. A healthy Von Miller gets you to, what, 11 and a half, 12 sacks? You just take a 12-sack guy off your defense and it doesn't move the needle at all? That doesn't make sense to me.
I understand your point, and I understand losing Von Miller is a massive blow for the Bills, but I also want to keep this in perspective because every time I've watched the Bills this year, which I've watched a lot of the Bills this year because they're probably the biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC, if not better than the Chiefs in the AFC, so I've watched a lot of Bills football. Every broadcast talks about what's so dangerous about the Bills is the depth of pass rush they have. They have guys. You heard Sal Capaccio there say they have Boogie Basham. They have Greg Rousseau. They have AJ Espinosa. They have a lot of bodies. Now, losing a full-time all-pro, a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame, is a massive blow. Don't get me wrong. But I think if there's one team that can survive it, it's the Bills. And I don't think Chiefs fans should be having a parade today. Not I think they are. That Von Miller's done, because the pass rush is still very much alive in Buffalo. I would still take the Buffalo pass rush today over the Chiefs pass rush, even without Von Miller. So I think two things can be true at once. The loss of Von Miller is massive, and it's a problem for the Bills. But I also think they're built to withstand losses like that because I think they built their team knowing a 30-something who's going to play on turf full-time, who we just gave a lot of money to, might not be ready to go for all 17 games. So they kind of built in some insurance with Rousseau and Basham and guys like that.
I don't know if there's any reason to be afraid of those guys. You're right. Is their pass rush still capable? Can they still get home? Yeah. Are you afraid of Boogie Basham? Are you afraid of Greg Rousseau? I think you can manage those guys. Every team in the NFL, at least at this level, has good pass rushers, right? Like, if you're one of those teams, you got a guy. You got a Chris Jones. You got a guy that you need to worry about. You got a Boogie Basham. There's something a little bit different about Von Miller. It's something I would say proven in the postseason that you would need his expertise, his veteran leadership, his craftiness to help you win playoff games. We're talking about a guy with two rings. We're talking about a guy who last year we saw the Rams maybe overspend a little bit to add Von Miller. We saw the boost that he had in the Super Bowl and then turn around. That's what helped get him paid in Buffalo to do basically the exact same thing for the Bills that he was going to do for the Rams. I think this is significant. I don't think this is a nothing kind of thing. I look at those four teams in the AFC and I think they're kind of interchangeable. Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Miami. Who's playing well? Who's healthy? Where's the game played? It comes down to those kinds of factors. I think not having Von Miller for that game matters. I think his impact on the game is something that has to move the needle just a little bit and could be the difference between winning and losing in the playoffs. Speaking of a player who tore his ACL, a player who could have a benefit down the stretch, here's the latest on Odell Beckham.
It's no secret Jerry Jones was enamored with this player ahead of his visit to Dallas. Now, the problem was that they weren't able to see him conduct a workout. Now, not dissimilar from teams like the Bills and Giants. But the issue that I'm hearing internally is the fact when you can't see him run routes, you can't see him cutting, is he going to be available to play this season? That is why they wanted to make the move. They wanted to have him available this year. I'm hearing they felt like it would be a push to even have him available if, let's say, the Cowboys got all the way to the Super Bowl. So in the absence of feeling confident about that, no offer was made. Now, they have rolled the dice on players with injury concerns in the past. Jalen Smith comes to mind, but I would remind viewers that in that situation, Jalen Smith's surgery was done by Dr. Dan Cooper, the Cowboys team doctor, so they felt like they had plenty of information there. Still, just the mention of OBJ, you could say, helped motivate this wide receivers room. I mean, I look at the last four games for CeeDee Lamb. He's had three touchdowns. You had two scores from Michael Gallup, and it seems like this offense is clicking. As one player told me, they'd love to have OBJ, but they're not relying on him.
This Odell Beckham saga has been one of the longest sagas that I can remember. I'll say this about Odell, and I don't think we're going to be talking about Odell much longer. If Dallas is not interested, he is not healthy. It was already going to be a long shot. I thought it was a little bit unrealistic to think that you cannot be playing football for the last 10 months and you just show up and you're the difference in a playoff run. Like, if you're making the equation to what happened in Cleveland, well, he had been playing football. He had gone through mini camps. He had gone through OTAs. He had played in games. So getting him up to speed wasn't that hard. And the last time that we saw Odell Beckham, he was laying on the ground holding his knee. That seemed kind of significant to me. I think it's obvious that Odell is not 100% healthy. And the Cowboys right now are making the determination of what percentage healthy is. And is it even going to matter? That, hey, let's say that we don't get Odell Beckham until the playoffs. Can we have this guy who has not played with us all season help us in a playoff game? And I think the answer is probably going to be no. I've gone back and forth on this because there was a time I thought he could potentially go to Buffalo. I think now with Von Miller, I think Buffalo is out. I think it's either Dallas or, I'm sure you've seen this, Rob, it sounds like Philadelphia has now entered it. Now, I think Philly would be, we don't want you on Dallas. And I would say Philly offensively really doesn't need him. Not with A.J. Brown and Jalen Waddle and the way they run the football. Or Devontae Smith, excuse me. I don't think that they need him. So, to me, it's kind of Dallas or bust for the most part. And maybe Philly. But if Dallas, in all the whining and dining that they have done for Odell Beckham these last 2 weeks or so. If they don't make an offer to Odell Beckham, that tells me everything that I need to know. Is if the Cowboys don't think he can help, then he cannot help you. He is not healthy. He's not nearly healthy enough to help you in that situation. So we'll see what happens with Odell Beckham. And this has certainly been a really, really long process. But my goodness, it has been 3-4 weeks of talking about Odell Beckham. And in the end, it might not matter at all because I don't even know if Odell Beckham is going to play this season.
If you're the Chiefs, real quick, in the offseason, do you go back and re-kick the tires?
Yeah, I mean, that's because, a little bit different because, you know, I mean, let's say he doesn't play this year, then you give him a full year and some more time. Yeah, would I bring Odell Beckham into OTAs? Would I sign him for minicamp? Yeah, sure, knowing that you're not really going to need him until September, then yeah. But it was just always going to be a long shot for a guy who, this is his second, he tore his ACL 2 times in 16 months. That guy was just going to pop up at Christmas time and help you? It just always seemed a little bit far-fetched to me, and I think the Cowboys are letting you know that right now. Coming up in just a bit, we'll get to the top story of the day in sports, and I just want to know how baseball has allowed the Aaron Judge situation to happen. I'll explain what I mean. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by KC Bobcat. Rent or own from KC Bobcat in Blue Springs, Olathe, or Tracy. Patrick Mahomes joins the show Mondays at 2:15 and 5:15, right here on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Drive with burger connoisseur Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll be joined in studio by our guy Jay Binkley. We'll talk a little pro football, we'll talk a little college football, and have a little holiday beer session with our guy Jay Binkley. Before we get to that, now, Rob, you are a bigger baseball fan than I am. I like baseball. I think you borderline love baseball, right? How has baseball allowed a system that not everyone has the same ability to sign free agents? Like, think about the other sports that we follow at this level. The NFL. Free agency is really cool, and there's this blitz because every player is available to every team. Trent Williams can go to any team in the league when he's a free agent. Orlando Brown, if he hits free agency, every team will have the same ability to sign Orlando Brown. Everybody's money is the exact same. It don't matter if you're Jacksonville, doesn't matter if you're New York. You got to spend a certain amount. You can't go over a certain amount. Now, you can get creative, and you can do some wheeling and dealing, but everybody is on the same playing field in the NBA. I know not all of you are fans of the association, but every team has the same opportunity to sign free agents. It really comes down to preference of where you want to play. Now, some cities are certainly at a disadvantage. I can see how free agents don't want to sign in Utah. I understand why free agents don't want to sign in Sacramento, but Sacramento has the same opportunity to keep its young stars. They have the same opportunity to sign your stars away. There is a hard cap on what you can offer players. There is a max that you can offer players, and it is the same if you are LeBron James or Jaylen Brown. You can only make so much in the NBA. That keeps the system and the wheels churning. How is baseball signed up for a system that when Aaron Judge is available, it can't be nearly as exciting because it's not really a surprise of where he can go? There's only 4 teams that have the opportunity to sign Aaron Judge. It's New York, it's Boston, it's LA, it's San Francisco, and somehow, I don't know when this happened, but San Diego all of a sudden has become the Boston Red Sox. Now, I don't know when this happened. I don't know what is going on in San Diego and what they're doing that these other teams aren't doing. I don't know what it is. But how has this system been allowed to flourish for as long as it's flourished? Aaron Judge's free agency should be exciting. It should be him taking all these different meetings and meeting with all these teams. This should be around the clock, 24/7. Man, where's Aaron Judge going to go? Hold on, is Aaron Judge going to go there? But no, it's the same. Bryce Harper's a free agent. It's only a couple of teams. Aaron Judge is a free agent. It's only a couple of teams. Justin Verlander, it's only a handful of teams. How has baseball allowed this system to operate for as long as it's been alive?
I would say you actually found the answer to your question as you were describing your question, because baseball system is built on what ownership wants to do. If ownership wants to splash cash and have a party, no one is stopping them. If they want to overextend themselves and buy big, no one is stopping them. The same way if your owner is a penny pincher and he'd rather see the bottom line for himself be nice and thick as opposed to prosperous on the field, no one is stopping him. There's no cap. There's no basement. There is just ownership determination. And you said in that spiel, I don't know where the Padres came from. I'll answer for you. The Padres owner decided, screw this. I'm tired of losing. I'm a billionaire. I'm spending my money on the team. I don't know who the Padres owner is, but that's how baseball's set up. It's designed for the billionaires to spend big if they so choose. And it's not like the Royals have an owner that doesn't have big money. He bought the team for $1 billion. A billion. The Royals, who had none success basically in our entire lifetime, for $1 billion. And now they're going to build a multi-billion-dollar stadium/stadium district downtown. So they have cash. They're not cash poor. They're just not putting it in the team. And that's how baseball allows it. So if baseball fans are mad, they shouldn't be mad at the Yankees for flashing $500 million around. They should be mad at their own ownership for not flashing that same money around. That's the system baseball has created.
But whenever there is a labor dispute, like there just was, what, 2 years ago now?
It was last year. Remember we had the lockout.
What's stopping all the small market teams from coming together? Like in the NBA, there is a division between the Charlottes and the Lakers, but all the teams like Charlotte are on the same page. Hey, the worst thing for our sport is for us to draft Giannis and then us not have the ability to keep Giannis on the team. Like the NBA has made it a point that they want to make sure that they can keep Zion Williamson in New Orleans for a certain amount of time, or Ja Morant. Now, it's different because eventually you hit free agency and then you have the choice of deciding. But the team that drafts you in the NBA and the team that you played for can offer you one extra year and therefore a guaranteed amount of money that no other team can make. So if you're Ja Morant, the Memphis offer is the biggest offer that it can be, and then every other team's offer is the exact same amount. So it is incentivized for you financially, security, for you to want to stay in a small market. How have they not come up with a system in baseball that encourages the exact same thing? Like, how has baseball not come up with a system where if you are the Kansas City Royals and you develop somebody like Bobby Witt Jr., and Bobby Witt Jr. becomes a star, the best player in baseball, he becomes Aaron Judge. How does baseball not have a system that protects programs and teams like Kansas City and keeping Aaron Judge? Because we agree, if Aaron Judge was a Royal, a 0% chance of him continuing to play on the team. And we all know that. They know that's the system. How is Kansas City and Cincinnati and Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay and Oakland, how have all of those teams not teamed up to try to break this system that really only benefits five clubs?
I would say this. I would say there are some rules, but it's super nerdcore, deep in the minutia about how baseball roster manipulation works. There's arbitration, which benefits small market teams, although most big market teams just buy out of that. We've seen that before, but the Royals can buy out arbitration. They just did it with Hunter Dozier. There are things like player control. I know the players hate it. Whit Merrifield, when he was in Kansas City, was actively against player control rules, but those rules exist. starting the clock in May versus when they make the roster. There are ways to massage and manipulate it that do benefit the small market teams to keep a guy who's really good under relative team control for 5 to 7 years. Those rules exist the same way the rules exist in the NBA, if we're going to get deep into the minutiae here, of it's easier to retain your guy in a max deal than sign someone else in a max deal. Baseball hasn't done enough. I agree with that. As a Royals fan, they haven't done enough. But their system is designed for no basement, no cap, spend how you feel suspend. And teams like the Royals, nothing is technically stopping them from spending how they want to spend. They need to probably have a more lucrative TV contract. They probably need to have more national TV games. There are things they need to do, but it's not like the reason the Royals don't spend money is because they're crying poverty. They have money. They're just spending it other places.
And we don't have to spend too much more time on this, but over the course of you talking, we don't see the flaw in a system that makes it far easier for you to keep Hunter Dozier than to keep Eric Hosmer when the Royals really wanted to keep Eric Hosmer. Don't nobody want Hunter Dozier. So sure, they're happy. The Yankees are happy to give you a system that makes it easy for you to keep Hunter Dozier. You know what I mean? But they're not giving you the access to the players that really move the needle and can help you win World Series. Right now, the system in Major League Baseball is to get lucky. I don't know if that's the system. I don't know if that should be the system. Sure, luck is part of it, right? The Chiefs did the same things that a lot of teams have done. They liked a quarterback. They drafted him. They developed him. They just ended up being right. Like, there's a measure of luck attached to it. But every team in the NFL has the same chance of winning. It just comes down to how smart your organization is and how good your owner is. That's just not really the system that Major League Baseball has set up. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Jay Binkley will join us in studio. Rob, let's talk about one of your other favorite topics for exactly 5 minutes. You can even time me here. We will talk about it for exactly 5 minutes. The last four games for Isaiah Pacheco, since we can say he's officially become the starter. He had 5 carries in the Tennessee game, 8 carries in the San Francisco game, 2 in the Buffalo game. That is not being the starter. The last month of games for Isaiah Pacheco, 67 carries, 325 yards, 2 touchdowns, averaging 4.8 yards per carry. That is good for, on a per-game basis, 16 carries for 80 yards. At least for now, they figured out their running back situation. This is it. They've even shown a commitment to it that I didn't think that they had. Isaiah Pacheco, 16 carries, 15 carries, 22 carries against the Rams, 14 last week against Cincinnati, and that's not even counting what you got from Jerick McKinnon, who played really well against Cincinnati. They figured it out. I don't know what's going to happen to Clyde Edwards-Helaire when he gets back, but I don't think he's getting his job back. I think they've decided who their running back is. I think they have made the right decision. Isaiah Pacheco is our one. Jerick McKinnon is our change of pace back. Throw it to him out of the backfield, and we'll see what next year looks like. They probably still need to invest in the running back position, but at least for this year, you got to make do with the parts that you got. And I think they finally figured it out. They've given Isaiah Pacheco an extended look, and I think they have been rewarded by it. You can't argue with 67 carries for 320-something yards and averaging 4.8 yards per carry. You're getting what you expected from the running game. This is what I've meant by just being effective. 16 carries for 80 yards is not great by any means. That ain't getting you a Pro Bowl. That ain't a guy that you're worried about as a defensive coordinator, but he's a guy that keeps you balanced, keeps you honest, and helps you extend drives and makes plays for you. I'm happy with what the Chiefs have in their run game. You notice I haven't complained about it much over the last couple of weeks. It's hard for me to complain. They've listened to me. I'm not going to complain for the sake of complaining. I was upset. The Chiefs have answered my question. And now we move forward, and I'm happy with what their solution is.
Okay, first off, we're at 3 minutes, so 2 minutes left. How much of this do you think it's a product of not having Edwards-Helaire because he heads the IR? And do you think these numbers stay the same when he comes back? Because remember, he's on the four-game IR. He's not on the season-ending IR like Von Miller is. He'll be back or he'll be eligible to return at some point this season. When he comes back, let's presume he's healthy when he comes back. That's just how it works in the NFL. Do his numbers stay the same for Pacheco and they actually have committed to it? Or are they going to go back to the three-headed monster approach? Because I would say the Chiefs had this handed to them with Pacheco because Edwards-Helaire got hurt. They did it one game with Edwards-Helaire. Then he got hurt, and now they can fully lean into it. Or do they go back to the trying to make this square peg fit in a round hole once he comes back from injury?
If anybody is getting their carries taken away, it's Jerick McKinnon. Now, I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the outside looking in. I think we might be talking about the end of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City. I'm not saying that he's got his final carry, but if you ask me right now, how many carries do I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets the rest of the season? I think the answer is less than 10. I think it's less than 10, and I think that next year he's on another team. I think the same way that the Chiefs do the Brett Veach special, where they get the failed first or second round guy and they buy him for pennies on the dollar, I think they're about to sell Clyde Edwards-Helaire for pennies on the dollar. I think they're going to move on. They're not picking up his fifth-year option. He's going to be going into a lame duck year. They found a running back that's more explosive than he is. They found another running back that they trust more than they trust Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think this is it. I think this is the end. I think he plays out the string in Kansas City, and he probably finds work elsewhere. And he goes on to be a Washington Commander. He goes on to be a Minnesota Viking next year. And good luck to him. I hope it works out in ways that it didn't work out for him in Kansas City. But I don't know how you can see what Isaiah Pacheco has done the last month when you've given him the opportunity, when you've allowed him to go out here and be your starting running back, and you go give the job back to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know how you do that. I have absolutely no clue how you do that. I think he lost his job, and it stinks. But I would also say that that is life, especially in the National Football League.
Would you say Pacheco took another grown man's job?
100%.
I mean, that's how Eric Bieniemy has referred to it. So
it's really a combination of both. Isaiah Pacheco took his job, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire lost his job. There's just something different about Pacheco that Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't have. I don't even think that Pacheco is super explosive. It's just a certain energy about it that just, it feels different. He runs with a little bit more oomph to it. It gets you fired up a little bit, you know? And I just think there's a measure of dynamic energy that Clyde just doesn't have and just has never really had in Kansas City.
Time. That's five.
All right, my bad. Can I make one more point?
Sneak it in.
One more point. Has there ever been a Chief that the highlight of their career was their first game? Because I think you could argue that with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Ooh, that's a good question.
The height of Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the season opener against Houston. You never felt better. He never made a better play, never made a better move. You never felt more excitement. Ever since that point, we have constantly chipped away at it. And I would say he's never really regained it or got anywhere close to that level he was after that season opener game. They had just won the Super Bowl. Clyde Edwards-Helaire makes a start. He makes a great move in the open field. He ain't done that since in the open field. So you think on that. You only got to think running back-wise. Because I know Kareem Hunt's had a great first game. He led the NFL in rushing that year, though. You know what I mean? He did something else continuing in his career. I don't know if we can say there's a player that their peak was their first game with the Chiefs.
My knee-jerk answer is either Sylvester Morris or Snoop Menis, who were bus.
Yeah, no, I'm just throwing it out there. Binkley coming up in just a little bit. Did you guys hear the 30 for 30 that they just announced today? Oh, my goodness. For those of you that are longtime ESPN fans like myself, oh, this is a great one.
Face it, America. You only watch pool because of Jeanette Lee.
Jeanette is powerful.
On the table, she will eat you alive.
In Black wants to kill the Black Widow.
I can't believe how she keeps getting up. Her body is quite fragile.
It makes the story better when you win.
30 for 30 presents Jeanette Lee versus December 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Sign me up. You know what I noticed during quarantine? And I don't think this is the knock on anybody. That some of us are just different kind of sports fans. Some of you are big sports fans for local sports. There's nothing wrong with that. You're a big Chiefs fan, big Royals fan. You love your college team, but you're not super interested in things that are happening outside of the local markets. And that's perfectly fine. There are some of us that will watch anything. And if you were like me, and Rob, I think you're the same as I was, there are certain shows that you had to have watched growing up for you to be the level of sports fan that I am. You remember Edge NFL matchup with Merrill Hodge and Ron Jaworski? where they'd be going down in depth and breaking plays down, and you didn't really know what they were talking about, but you knew you was watching something special, you know? If you didn't watch sports reporters before going to church, we just aren't the same kind of sports fan. You would wake up and they would have Mitch Albom and Jason Whitlock before he crossed over to the other side, and they would have Mitch Albom and John Saunders and Dick Schaap, and you were like, man, you know what? They were having good sports conversations on that show. It was a great show. If you didn't watch ESPN News, then we just weren't the same kind of sports fan growing up as kids. Not saying you weren't a sports fan. But if you didn't watch Random Pool on ESPN, or if you don't know who Pete Weber is, we're not the same kind of sports fan. Those are staples. If you didn't watch A&1 Street Ball on ESPN in the summer, what were you doing here? If you didn't watch when they would have the Madden bus, you're just not the same fan of ESPN the way I'm fan of ESPN. You remember when ESPN went to that stretch of making movies? You remember they did that season on The Brink? Remember the Junction Boys? Whatever happened to the Junction Boys?
Didn't they have a Yankees one, too?
Yeah.
They somehow tied Son of Sam into the Yankees. It was wild.
Bronx is burning.
Bronx is burning,
Bronx
yeah.
is burning. I'm just saying, some of us are just different kind of sports fans. Some of you just love your Chiefs, and there's nothing wrong with loving your Chiefs. I was watching 2-Minute Drill on ESPN. I was watching A&1 Street Ball on ESPN back in the day. I was watching those Strongest Man competitions. Oh, it wasn't nothing like a June, and you didn't have nothing to do. Just turn on ESPN2, and it's this 400-pound man just throwing kegs around. And you're like, oh, I kind of like him. He kind of strong. They're different kind of sports fans, man. I can't wait for this. For those of us that are real ESPN fans, Jeanette Lee is the GOAT. I can't wait to watch The Black Widow.
Were you ever a World Series of Poker watcher with Norman Chad breaking it down?
Doyle Brunson.
Mm.
He had that 10-gallon hat. I don't even know how to play poker. I like watching the World Series of Poker on ESPN, though.
You know what I learned as a kid? World Series of Poker. A lot better to watch than play when you don't know everyone else's cards.
Yeah. Oh, I used to love that. When they would like, I only know who they are because of watching it on TV. Phil Ivey. Yeah, I really watched ESPN growing up, man. I was a real ESPN fan. All right, coming up, somebody I know who grew up watching a lot of ESPN. Jay Binkley will join us in studio. We'll talk pro football. We'll talk college football. He is very angry about the Heisman Trophy. We'll also talk to Bink about that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.